people have powerful feelings about the traffic in Los Angeles. It says something that local officials warned motorists about a temporary road work closure on the 405 last year by calling it Carmageddon. Angelenos took the hint, and this weekend they're expected to steer clear of the latest 405 closure, named, of course, Carmageddon 2. That's how it is in L.A., a snarl of overstuffed freeways and commuters who keep their cool, except when they don't. KPCC's Stephen Cuevas has this profile of a punk rocker whose music expresses the insanity of L.A. traffic while extolling the virtues of public transit.
Couple of things you need to know about Eddie Solis. He lives in L.A., loves the band Kiss, and does not own a car.
Being someone who's from L.A., born and raised, and, you know, having a few cars in my past, I saw the city much differently through a different perspective through the eyes of a bus rider.
Want to stall way the back?
Sure. Line 18, Wilshire Western Station.
Just steps from the front door of his home, across the street from a tortilla factory in L.A.'s Boyle Heights neighborhood, Solis catches a bus that connects him with the city's subway and the commuter train he catches to his day job at an indie record label in Hollywood.
It just opened me up to, like, little neighborhoods, galleries, clubs, bars, just everything. Just seeing what's out there, little pockets of the city.
Solis's journeys aboard L.A. buses and subway cars informs a lot of the material on The New Los Angeles Part 1, Through the Eyes of a Bus Rider, the latest release by the singer-guitarist band It's Casual. In Solis's vision of a new Los Angeles, people abandon their cars, climb aboard public transit, and rediscover their communities. One song extols the virtues of the L.A. County Metropolitan Transit Agency's Easy Pass and the urban underbelly it introduces to the rider.
And that's a nod and homage to, you know, the people who know what you can even go cheaper and really beat the system and really steer away from spending money on gas and oil profits and all that. Is all it takes for me to witness racial tension, for me to witness illegal aliens. It's not to paint a negative picture, it's just my perspective of what is seen.
Off the bus and back on the street, we make our way past a jazz saxophonist playing for pocket change and down a long escalator to catch a train.
So, where are we now?
We're at the Red Line station, the Pershing Square station in downtown L.A.
And what's our destination?
We're going to go downstairs another tier, and about 5 minutes, we're going to get on the Red Line going northbound.
Okay, yeah. Let's go.
The Metro Red Line snakes from North Hollywood to downtown Los Angeles. It's the train that inspired It's Casual's signature tune and spawned a viral internet video. It was partly filmed late at night on a moving train as it hurtles from station to station. Solis thrashes away on his guitar and barks the lyrics, which celebrate the Red Line and call out the congested freeways that coil around Los Angeles.
Este es un tren de Metro Red Line a North Hollywood.
The freeways are not so nice. The I-5, the 210, the freeways are not so nice.
The thread that comes out of the record that ties everyone together is just like, be alive, don't be a victim of having a car.
MTA spokesman said he couldn't comment on Eddie Solis's furious pro-Metro message, but the Red Line video was a hit at the offices of Move LA.
Eddie's done a good job. Thank you, Eddie.
It's the public transportation advocacy group headed by former Santa Monica Mayor Denny Zane. He liked the juxtaposition of Solis blissfully riding L.A. public transit in one scene with scenes of the band raging against those notorious freeway jams.
Eddie is all frantic when he talks about highways. And so mellow when he's like grooving on a skateboard and on the bus and on the Red Line, there's a metaphor for the transformation, you know, from the, oh my God, I just got to get out of the traffic to, hey, this is cool. I can mellow out.
Or you can blast the tune like Too Many People as you claw your way across Los Angeles by car, bus, or skateboard. Too Many People could also be a motto for It's Casual. Over the years, the band whittled itself down to a power duo of Solis and a rotating cast of drummers. So you may think the burly, bearded punk rocker just can't get along with freeways, with people, or his native LA. Not true.
I love it. I love everything about it. I've traveled throughout the U.S. many times, and I could never look forward enough to coming back. The weather, the different cultures, the landscape. I was just like, you know what? Now I know why everyone moves to L.A.
Solis will bring the love and the volume during a Red Line mini tour next month. It's Casual will play a different venue within walking distance of several Red Line metro stops from Union Station to West Hollywood. For the California Report, I'm Stephen Cuevas.
That's the California Report, a production of KQED Public Radio in San Francisco. Our director this week is Nina Thorson. Seal Muller is our technical producer. We had additional engineering from Danny Bringer and Howard Gelman. Thanks to Hank Hadley at KCBX. Our online team includes Lisa Pickoff-White, David Marks, and Don Clyde. Our interns are Catherine Borgeson and Rachel Johnson. Tyke Hendricks is our elections editor with production help from Tina Lauerberg. We had editing support from Paul Rogers. Victoria Malione is our associate senior producer. Ingrid Becker is our senior producer. The news director is Bruce Kuhn. I'm Rachel Miro. Thanks for listening and have a great weekend. This is the California Report.
Funds for the California Report are provided by the James Irvine Foundation, expanding opportunity for the people of California and supporting the California Report since its premiere in 1995. And the California Endowment. Health happens in schools at calendow.org. And Chevron, investing in renewables, strengthening communities, and creating jobs. More information at chevron.com.
The 210, the 605, the freeways are not so nice. The I-5, the 210, the freeways are not so nice. The 101, the 405, the freeways are not so nice. The I-5, the I-10, the freeways are not so nice. The 210, the 605, the freeways are not so nice. The I-5, the I-10. The I-5, the I-10, the freeways are not so nice. The 101, the 405, the freeways are not so nice. The 605, the 101, the 101, the 101, the I-10, the 210, the 605, the 101, the 405, the I-10, the freeways are not so nice. The red light.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the 79th episode of Los Angeles Nista. I'm the creator, producer, and host of the show, Edward Solis. And today is a downtown Los Angeles episode, and we're highlighting an institution of Southern California, a restaurant chain known as El Cholo, and I can't wait to get into it. And it's an honor to introduce my in-studio guest, Ron Salisbury, the owner of El Cholo. How are you, Ron?
Fine, Eddie. Thank you. Pleasure being here.
Yeah, fantastic. Very exciting for me. You know, I've had a, you know, what you would consider rock stars and big actors. When, you know, I'm more excited that you're here than some of these people. You're kind of like a rock star to me because, like the Wizard of Oz, a man behind the magic, you know? I mean, I've, you know, just growing up in SoCal, I've had a lot of experience, you know, going to El Cholo. And more frequently, since I moved in the downtown area 3 years ago and have been going to a lot of events at LA Live, I've been going to El Cholo a lot, and it's just kind of, it's a good component before a big evening at LA Live. And I want to focus on that location that you have, which is, I believe, your newest LA location, correct?
It's the newest LA.
Yeah, yeah. Now, you know, I was blown away when I saw it. I remember, you know, I started taking public transportation to all the NBA games, especially the Clippers, and it's just so headache-free. I mean, it's so cost-efficient. And, you know, you a lot of pros versus cons. You get out and walk. You see the city. And I stumbled upon El Cholo. And, you know, I tried every place in LA Live before a Clippers game. And I ended up feeling, you know, and it wasn't too good for what you paid. It's inconsistent. You go back a second time. But once I started going to El Cholo, I was very convinced that this is probably the best place to get food while going to an LA Live event. Tell me a little bit about the backstory, how you guys ended up there.
Ended up there, it was a, well, we have six El Cholos, and I've always said we never went out looking for a restaurant. They always kind of found us.
Wow.
And that one was, as I grew up in Los Angeles, and we were talking earlier how everything was centered downtown. When I came shopping, we came downtown. So my heart and soul was downtown.
Awesome.
My grandparents had their first restaurant, which was the first El Cholo, which was out on Broadway and Broadway Center. Now it's not Martin Luther King. So anyway, I always had my heart coming back down here, and I thought it's never going to happen, all these high-rise buildings. And Bernadette Lewicki, who was the wife of Tim Lewicki, who was part of AAG and they developed it, she put together some investors and they took over this old building I didn't know existed. And the restaurant was not doing well, and someone told her, I didn't know her at the time, that it would make an ideal El Cholo. So she came to me and said, would you like to do it? And then when I saw the building, yeah, that's one of those, it seeks you out. It sought us out. I looked at the building and I thought, we can't walk away from this. It's too special a place and too special of a building.
It's too good, right?
Oh, it's great, yeah.
So I mean, just the building itself, I mean, it just is very cohesive to the El Cholo message and brand.
I think it was apparently it was a golf shop in the 30s or something.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Wow. Wow, that's very interesting. So you know what's even more of a convenience is that, you know, when myself or people that I've advocated to about taking public transportation to go see events through Los Angeles, you know, the Blue Line, the MTA Blue Line, stops right in front of the Staples Center and LA Live, and your restaurant is just right off to the right. So it's the first thing you see as far as food places.
We're very grateful.
Yeah. And it's, you know, and it's just, I mean, the whole thing is so convenient. Like, you know, it just, when you take the Blue Line to a game and you kind of just skip off, literally just skip off the Blue Line and you see El Cholo, you know, it just makes the perfect intro before a big night at an event. Mm-hmm. And what I like about it personally is the patio, especially in the springtime. You can see the backdrop of LA Live and it's just very pleasant. Mm-hmm. Did you guys, when you guys moved in, obviously it was there, but did you have to design a patio, or is that already
the patio part of it? The patio was not covered over time, so we came up with it. It's a gentleman does awnings. He's very intricate. He knows how to really design them and everything. So we had to cover the patio, so now we could contain the heat, and we have protection from most of the moisture. So that whole awning was what we did to the patio.
Very well.
And the bar was kind of tucked in back. It had doors shutting it off. We took the doors off, so fireplace was there. We inherited a great fireplace.
Yeah, exactly. Now, for you, someone who's deeply involved in the restaurant business, when you find a building like that, I mean, it's just a perfect match. Now, for you, there was something that was within you that you had a connection to downtown. Was there a lot of self-fulfillment when you opened this location?
Yeah, there always is. You know, my kids got a kick. I said, I'm in the business. I don't care if I make money. Well, that's not true.
Right.
But I tell them, I'm doing this. We opened a restaurant because we really fall in love with the building, location, and sometimes it's not a good thing to fall in love too easily, but I do. And then we just make it work. A lot of times we enter, open a building, not for a good business decision, but the building just feels really good. It feels like an El Cholo should be there, or one of our other types of restaurants. We opened one down in Newport Beach. It's an old old cannery building from the 1920s.
So, wow.
You know, again, I was, I think about, that was in 1999. I was done opening restaurants. My life was orderly, and that this restaurant came up again. I fell in love with it, and we've opened three restaurants since that time. And I thought I was done when I was 70 years old, 69 at the time.
Wow. Now, the void that you're filling with Mexican food, you know, I've traveled a lot around the U.S., and I've learned that Mexican food in Los Angeles is not available everywhere.
No.
Do you think you would ever do something out of state? Or is that too much of an undertaking?
No, because, you know, I'd like to feel that on a given day, if I wanted to or needed to, I could visit all the restaurants. I could show my face in them. And out of state, you're going to have to get on an airplane. You get a lot of travel time lost. In truth, you're not going to go there because the majority of what you do is here.
Yeah.
So you're probably going to go visit maybe once a month. And
if that.
Yeah. And things would get away from you too easily. So, no.
Interesting. I just think that the reason why I bring that up is because,
why?
You know, El Cholo represents, I feel it truly represents, as an Angeleno, it represents the Mexican food, mm-hmm. and it represents Los Angeles very well. That style of Mexican food, mm-hmm. you know. So I thought maybe, you know, that void outside of the state, it could be well received from other people because they don't get that kind of thing.
See, now you're talking about making money.
Let's make some money.
That's not interesting. I just want to have a good time as I go through life. It's turned out well for me. It's been a good life.
That's good. You know, as far as Orange County goes, you guys have El Cholo restaurants in Orange County.
Right, correct. Three,
yeah. Now your most recent have been open in Orange County.
Yes.
Okay, now what city is that?
That's in Anaheim Hills.
Anaheim Hills, mm-hmm. right. I mean, I'm sure you have your secret recipes and a template to the taste. But when a new building is up and there's employees, it takes time to get into rhythm, right? I mean, there's a lot of work that goes into that plate that lands on my table.
It really is. It's, you know, you're hiring a lot of new people. You want to integrate some of your other employees in other restaurants so you have a core. It still takes a while. It's a team. It's a team effort. I can remember when I worked for my dad on El Cholo, the original one on Western, everyone had been there for so long, and all I had to do was open the door in the morning with the key, open the safe, put the money in the cash register, and turn everybody loose. At night, count the money, put the money in the safe, and go home. Because everyone is such a team. We knew, it was like a basketball team going down the court. You know, they make those blind passes, and, you know, how they know the person was there. But, yeah, until you get that point, it takes a couple of years. You go through a lot of people you thought were good. They don't turn out to be good. And then getting them all to work together, it takes time.
Yeah, it takes time. And I think that's a good analogy to compare it to is it's very cohesive to a team. Mm-hmm. You got to get in a rhythm, connect with a great team. And it's more, you know, there's a lot of skill and a lot of great attitude that comes. It has to be both, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you think that, well, let me back up really quick. Being that you have this location right by LA Live, are you going to more events at LA Live? Are you a big sporting fan?
Well,
how do you feel about that?
There's this
thing
they call an orange curtain.
Oh!
and living down there, even coming up here to visit the restaurants that we have up here is difficult for me because by the time I do and try to hit the traffic, it's a barrier.
Yeah, it is.
We tried to get someone to oversee all the restaurants in the culinary aspect.
Right.
We ended up finding just dividing it. Here's what's Orange County, here's what LA, and it works out because all the time spent, it's just better focusing on your county.
Right, and it's funny you bring that up about traffic because that's why this show exists, to show everyone how to see the city without a car and a headache, you know. The Orange County Anaheim Hills location, did you have any other possible, you know, locations of mine? And if so, why did you go with Anaheim Hills?
No, there weren't. As I say, when you find a site and it just feels well, then you jump on it and you might go 4 or 5 years and nothing feels well. So you're just not going to open anything else.
Very cool. It's very intuitive.
You have to love it. And, you know, the restaurant business, there's a lot of passion obviously involved and a lot of love. So if you don't love what you're doing, if you're doing it for the money, it'll show.
Right. Yeah. So you really have to have a passion
for
what you're doing and the enthusiasm.
And you love the people you're working with. You know, I tell all my staff, and I said, when you go in the restaurant, the first person you go back to is talk to the dishwasher. Why? Because everybody ignores that poor guy all night long. I said, it'll make him feel like you recognize him. And you send a message to all the other staff, hey, this guy is important. He's a part of the
team. He's a component.
Yeah. And then it grounds you to go out and take care of everything else. So, yeah, it's a...
I think that's very important, and it's very transparent to the kind of person you are. I mean, you know, acknowledging everyone, because it's all pieces to the puzzle.
Right.
And it's a big puzzle, you know, especially in the restaurant business. It's like there's a behind the scenes happening with cooks and dishwashers. Question about your menu. Is the menu the way it is and it has been, or do you guys like to add little things here and there? How does that work?
Well, once again, it's if you saw our original menus, which we have posted in the restaurant, you'll see it was very simplistic. It was just some a la carte dishes and a little combination.
Yeah.
So it's grown over the years. There's never been a concerted effort to add things. For instance, one time we did a blue corn chicken enchilada.
Wow.
At a restaurant we used to have downtown, Sonora Cafe, and then we ended up moving to La Brea, and we did it, and I thought, this is such a great item, and it really tastes like the rest of the stuff on El Cholo's menu. So we added to El Cholo's menu, and right now it's one of the biggest, most popular. But that's how that came about. We don't go out seeking, because I like to keep it, the bigger the menu, the more difficult it is to make
sure
that it's...
You're absolutely right. Yeah. It's hard to navigate. You know,
you love in and out.
I was just going to say that. You know what? You know, it's so amazing. I mean, at the end of the day, less is more.
We went to a restaurant, my wife and I, down in Fort Worth, Texas, here about a month ago. It's called Joe T. Garcia's, and it seats 1,000 people.
Wow.
It started in a little tiny house, but kept on expanding. They have two items on the menu. They have what they call a Mexican plate with enchilada and taco beans and rice, or they have fajitas. So when the server comes to the table and says, what do you want, the fajitas night or the Mexican plate? In the kitchen, just making it as fast as they
turns
can.
Turns it over.
Yeah. It was an in and out of Mexican restaurant. and it seated 1,000 people. It was amazing. So,
that is amazing. You know what's so funny, just to touch on that, is the other day I was with somebody and I walked in. I rarely do fast food, but I was in a hurry and I walked in and I was looking at the menu and my eyes, for the first time in my life, started to hurt. I was like, just look at all these line listing, and it was just brutal. And I looked at a person, I go, you know what? In-N-Out really has a grasp on this. They know what they're doing. It's just a white background and a few things. Yeah, and I think that's very important that you, keep it easy and very friendly on the eyes and ears and easy to navigate. It's important. I mean, the whole thing is an experience from being seated to opening the menu and it being super simple and the customer service and the consistency. What's your favorite thing to eat at El Cholo?
Oh, gosh.
I'll tell you mine.
I'll put it this way. When I was working for my dad, I always ate a number two. It was the enchilada, chili relleno, beans, and rice. And one day, two of them must taste so good. I think, I go to the restaurants to eat things because I want to see what they're like. So a long time
it's
ago,
research, yeah.
long time ago, I gave up the idea I'm going to go in and just have a good dinner. So the number two, clean everything away. I'm just going to have a good dinner. I'll have a number two again.
Very cool. I like the taste of history.
Well, you get,
you get a little bit of everything.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, I love that. But, if I don't have as much time and maybe I'm in and out, I'm trying to be in and out a little bit, not at the restaurant, but trying to get in and get out and do something, I like the chili relleno plate. I love your chili rellenos.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, I love that. Now, as far as the actual next location, is that jumping ahead? Is there anything in the works?
I always keep saying we're done.
And your life is orderly, and you don't need
it. You got to figure. I got to pass it on to the next generation really soon, probably sooner than later. And I can't leave them something that they can't manage. So, I've grown with these things. They've slowly come into my life, and I've assimilated them, so it's easy to digest. My other kids, they're coming up in their 60s now, so they're not going to want to take it. So I have a 25-year-old that is away to school right now. He says he wants it, but I can't dump all this stuff that I've assimilated all my life, and now he has to check all these moving pieces he's not familiar with. So
right.
I got to be careful I don't go crazy.
That's very interesting. I mean, that's like a really interesting life lesson because, when you think about it, I mean, you were working. It was a work in progress for you. It was a part of your life, and you accumulated slowly. Nothing was too abrupt. It was with finesse.
Yeah.
And you grew with it and you facilitated it. But for who you pass it on to, I mean, that's a huge undertaking. All of a sudden, here's El Cholo.
It might be kind of daunting to them, you know.
I don't know. I mean, but it's exciting.
He's a heck of a lot smarter than I am, so he should do fine.
Yeah, I mean, sure, exciting, but yeah, daunting. I mean, it's a lot.
Yeah.
And you want to do the right thing. I'm sure it could be some pressure. Yeah. But yeah, that's very considerate of you. Yeah. I mean, on your end, I mean, the way you're taking the initiative to be careful because it's going to affect the future.
Well, I tell you, it's another quick vignette is... I had business cards. I didn't like titles. I just had my name on a business card.
That's cool.
One night, a guy came in the cannery restaurant we have down Newport Beach, and he was the head of a really large chain of restaurants, and he handed me his card and said, CEO and founder. I thought, wow, that's a really heavy title. I said, I guess I need a title on my card. So I said, well, let's see, I'm the grandson of the first person, so I guess my title's the grandson of the founder. So I said, I put that in the business card, and everybody says, what's that mean? It means I have to respect what my grandparents and parents started and make sure I do it the way they want me to. And if I can improve it at all, that's my job. So I'm passing that on to the next generation. So that's what we do.
That's extremely admirable. I mean, I just feel that, you know, you have such a, you know, hardworking ethic, but also, you know, you don't let ego get in the way. And I love that. I love that. Being from Los Angeles, I got to ask you, do you like the Dodgers? Or is it the Angels? Because you are behind the Iron Curtain. Or do you care about baseball
well,
at all?
I follow the Angels because I've had season tickets to the Angels since 72. So and I've gotten to know a lot of people over the years that played for them and everything, friends. So, and then a good friend of mine played for, he played for the Angels and he went on and played for the Astros. And, those were the days when the Dodgers were known as kind of arrogant and cocky. And he shared it. He said, the rest of the guys in the league don't like the Dodgers. So
LA,
I respect what they've done. Yeah. They've done an incredible thing over there. The stadium is refurbished.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
You have to respect. Yeah, it's great for baseball what they've done. And the bottom line is, to me, it's baseball. Someone said, are you a fan or certain? No, I'm a fan of baseball. And
very
Dodgers
well
really added to everything.
One thing, you know, I got to say, you know, always favoriting the Dodgers over the Angels during that golden era of the infield with Garvey and Ron Say and all that. You know, I was watching the Angels games growing up as equally. And, you know, I mean, they had a pretty magical team, too, with Brian Downing and Fred Lynn and, you know, Doug DeCinse. I mean, that was good baseball. So I could totally relate to, you know, being an Angel fan. I mean, to me, that was a great era for them as well. And then obviously when Socha came, he really took them far.
And Nolan Ryan, you know, last place team pitching 22-14 and and a couple of no hitters. So yeah,
right.
Some exciting moments.
Right. Right. And, let me ask you a question. Have you ever taken the LA subway and would you be open to it?
Oh, I'd love to. I love experiences.
That's awesome.
I love something new. And whatever it's like, I just like to enjoy and experience it.
That's fantastic. Yeah, I think it's an exciting time in downtown. Yeah. Part of, besides LA Live and the infrastructure of being able to get around without a car so easily and very cost efficient, you know, I could sit down and get from point A to point B, not worry about driving and do my work emails and keep the ball rolling. And at the same time, just kind of, you know, connect with your fellow Angelino. And even if you don't talk to them, just kind of take it all in. I think it's a great experience. And I think El Cholo in downtown is a component and a destination everyone should see as well while getting off the blue line at the Pico station, which is across street from LA Live.
Been very beneficial for us, though. Thank you.
Yeah, it's exciting.
Pointing out.
And I want to thank you for coming. That's a wrap.
Oh.
And thanks for being a part of the 79th episode.
Had a great time. Thank you.
I appreciate it. Thank you so much.